Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. I was reading recently, it's an ancient document that is by some scholarly judgment written by the apostles themselves called the Didache. And I found in that document, among many other things, a formula for baptism. Now it raises the question, doesn't it? What in the world were the apostles all up in arms about when it came to baptism? It seems, especially here in America, that for most Christians, baptism is an incidental thing. Certainly not central, certainly not so important that one would spend time, a lot of time, talking about it, like we are going to this hour on Issues, etc. And then you look in the Gospels and the Acts of the Apostles and the epistles of Paul especially, and then an epistle of Peter, and you find them talking about baptism too. What are they talking about? What are our Lord and the apostles talking about when they talk about baptism? We're going to answer that question among many others as we talk about baptism this evening on Issues, etc. If you'd like to join us, our phone number, 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. We also have an email address, and that is issuesetc@kfuo.org. issuesetc@kfuo.org. You can use either of those means to contact us with a question or a comment as we talk about baptism this evening with Dr. Norman Nagel, a regular guest and professor of systematic theology at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. Dr. Nagel, welcome back to Issues, etc.
Hello. Good to be here.
What is baptism according to our Lord's words, according to the words of the apostles?
You put the question in the best possible way, asking the Lord first to give the answer. The temptation is sometimes that we have our say about holy baptism, and then at second or third place we fit the Lord in somehow to support what we have already said. So you ask, what did the Lord say about it? And there we have, of course, his mandate of holy baptism at the end of the Gospel according to St. Matthew, where he had done all of that the Gospel tells us that he had done to be our Saviour, borne our sins, and achieved for us life and salvation. But his having done it would not be for us unless it were delivered. And so at the end of each of the Gospels, he sees to it that what he has achieved by his life, death, and resurrection is delivered to us. And one of the ways that he says at the end of Matthew is that disciples are his as they are made by baptism and by the teaching. And when those two things are done, then the disciples are made, that is, those to whom he has given what he lived, died, and rose again for. And that baptism was not just any water, but water in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you can't get anything richer, more full for us of blessings than the name of the Lord.
Well, Jesus commands his disciples to make disciples by baptizing and teaching. One might conclude that then baptism is man's work. Is baptism a work of man?
What is done at the Lord's bidding and by his mandate is his doing. To say that a baptism is done in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit is to confess that that's what he does. It's in his name. It belongs to him. He is the one who set it up, who gave us the mandate, told us to go ahead with it, and then carries on in the doing of it. So if you ask, who was it that baptized me? The answer that holds for sure is the Lord. That wasn't just somebody's man idea. But when we do things, when things are done according to the mandate of the Lord, that's the same as his doing it. To say mandate is to say that's what the Lord has given to be done, and when that's done, He's the one that makes it for sure by his doing of it.
What does Jesus do in baptism?
He carries through with what he gave his disciples to do. You recall how when he had given them the bidding to make disciples by baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and by teaching whatever I have commanded you, he then said he would be with them all the way. It wasn't as though he told them what to do and then went home. He promised to be with them, and he cannot depart his name. The baptism in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, where his name is, there he is. You mayn't think of the name of God being something independent of him. He's with his name, and where he puts his name, there he commits himself to be. And that's Jesus, that's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. All the whole of God in that name of his, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And you can't knock Jesus out of that, and you can't knock the Holy Spirit out of that and say, well, he'll come along a bit later, and you can't knock the Father out of that. They're all together there in the triune name of God, which is put on you with the water, as the Lord Jesus said, should be done.
So if we have there not only the name of the triune God, but the triune God himself acting on our behalf in baptism, can we make a list of things that God does in baptism?
He commits himself with his name, and everything that's in his name is pledged to us at our baptism. The Lord does not vacate his name. With his name, he commits himself to be the one to whom we belong, of whom he will always have a care. He cannot desert his name, and he's put his name on you. And so when you pray to him who put his name on you. And as one of the great prayers said, he cannot depart or desert from his name, where he's put it. That was made very clear at the dedication of the temple, you may recall, in the prayer that Solomon prayed that day about where the Lord would put his name, so that that would be the place toward which they would pray. And prayer pulling out of God's name all that is there for us, all that we are told of God in Scripture, all that we know of him and that he has done for us, is in his name. And so when we begin each day in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are asking God to do his name with us throughout the day that lies ahead, so that our confidence in living out each day is in that name, which is ours as surely as it was put upon us with the water of our baptism.
You mentioned there the dedication of the temple and Solomon's prayer at that dedication, where he speaks a lot about the name of God being put there in the temple. He also talks a lot about that temple being a place where God will forgive the sins of his people and indeed of all nations. He will forgive the sins. Does the name of God in baptism also bring forgiveness of sins in baptism?
He would have to lose his name. He would have to quit being God for that to be not the case. For as Jesus gave baptism to be done, it was at the end of all that his life and death and resurrection achieved for us. And then Jesus saw to it that that would be delivered. And that is delivered then with the name and the water and the teaching. And when those two things are done, that's the way a disciple is made, one who knows for sure that he is one of God's own and can count on God, that is, on his name, and pray by pulling things out of that name, as is the only kind of prayer that finally is worth anything.
I think it was Luther, and I was reading this some time back, so my memory may fail me when I try to call it up, but I think it was Luther when he wrote on baptism in his large catechism, he says at one point, it seems, there is so much in baptism that God gives and does in baptism to keep us occupied talking about it for the rest of our lives. We can never exhaust what it is God does in and through baptism. But it seems such a simple thing, doesn't it? And when you think about it, folks, doesn't baptism seem just to be water in the hand of a man and words spoken? Yes, it is the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but it seems so ordinary, so mundane, so, well, to kind of put it crassly, it seems so typical of what is. We take baths, we take showers, and those washings are not the same as this washing. When we come back from this break, I want to talk about baptism a little bit more. There are people who give a different answer to the question of what baptism is. They look at what it appears to be, water in the hand of a man or someone going down into water and coming out, and they say, that's all the more it is. It's really just a symbolic washing. It's our act of dedication to God. It's an evidence of our faith or our commitment or our decision for Christ. It sounds as though, to this point, that is not what baptism is. And we'll visit those scriptures where our Lord and the apostles have a lot to say about baptism. If you'd like to join us with a question or comment on baptism, it's 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727.
You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Christians often make their ethical decisions based upon what seems reasonable. Is this the right approach? How should a Christian's faith affect his private and public moral life? That's the subject of our Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June, Reasonable Ethics, A Christian Approach to Social, Economic, and Political Concerns. You'll find Reasonable Ethics at one of the two bookstore locations for Concordia Publishing House. One is at 3558 South Jefferson in the city, the other on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. When you stop by, look for the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June, Reasonable Ethics. Those two locations again, 3558 South Jefferson in the city or on the campus of Concordia Seminary in Clayton. At both locations, you'll find the Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for June, Reasonable Ethics, A Christian Approach to Social, Economic, and Political Concerns.
The following program is a recorded broadcast. Please do not attempt to call the program. Phone lines are not open.
Next week on Issues, Etc., we're going to discuss falling away from the faith. Is it possible? We'll talk with Dr. Stephen Hine of Shepherd of the Springs Lutheran High School in Colorado Springs, Colorado. If faith, the forgiveness of sins, and eternal life are all God's work, is it possible for someone to fall away from the Christian faith? Does Scripture teach once saved, always saved? We'll talk about it next week on Issues, Etc. with Dr. Stephen Hine. Now, if you have a question or a comment on eternal security or once saved, always saved, you can post it this week, and we'll try to have Dr. Hine respond next Sunday during the program. All you have to do is go to our website at issuesetc.org, click on the What's New section of the website there, and you'll find a direct link to our Issues, Etc. forum. There you can post a question or comment for next week's program on Once Saved, Always Saved. The website address, again, is issuesetc.org. During this hour, we're talking about baptism with Dr. Norman Nagel. Dr. Nagel, before the break, I mentioned how we often perceive baptism. Someone goes to a church and sees someone baptized, or perhaps they even go to be baptized themselves, and they see ordinary water, and they hear the name of God, but no light shines from heaven, no voice thunders out of the great beyond, and they say, well, it seems so very ordinary, maybe it is just that ordinary, maybe it is just a symbol of my faith or a symbol of my commitment to Christ. How can water do such things that you talked about before?
The way of natural religion is to look for something spectacular, as if that really with a big zinger makes it for sure that the Lord's doing it. The Lord didn't win our salvation that way. He came as a baby born of Mary in Bethlehem and lived a life among us here and went through it all in our place to be our Saviour. He is not far away. He's not up at some heavenly high spiritual religion region. He achieved salvation here among us, in our earthliness, physical, where our lives are going on ground level. And that is then also where he delivers his gifts, ground level. We don't have to try and work up some spirituality that wafts us off to some higher experiential levels of Christianity. He deals with us where we are at, in the things that he came to be a part of with his incarnation, and with those things also he has arranged the delivery of our salvation. So we glory in how lowly and simple is the water. That's where our lives are going on. That's where he delivers his gifts. And when water is taken into the Lord's use, that's a water that we can rejoice about. We cannot then think of that like any other water. It's his water that he has taken to his use and that runs with his name and his mandate. And we don't have to womp up some high religious upper level kind of thing. But down here where we are at in our everyday earthly physical lives, there with the water and the name, with the bread and the wine, and with the words that proclaim his salvation, that go into our ear holes, there is the delivery, and in that we rejoice.
You've mentioned several times in the course of this conversation that this is, baptism is one of the means by which Christ delivers the benefits of his life and his death and his resurrection to us here and now. Is baptism intended to be by our Lord that particular delivery of these things? It's one thing to say Christ died for all, but there are still people asking, but did he die for me?
Each of the ways in which the Lord has given us to rejoice in his delivery of his gifts has its own particular thing to be grateful for. And so there's the preaching that delivers Jesus to us and all that he has achieved for us. Then there is also the delivery of his gifts by way of holy baptism. There's the delivery of his gifts in holy communion. And there's the delivery of his gifts in holy absolution. Each one of these has about it something special to be rejoiced in. And one of the things that you just mentioned is one of the glories of baptism, for it does not leave us in any doubt. Who is it upon whom the Lord is putting his name with the water? It's you, that one, that child, that person, of whom then we can never doubt that that's one baptized of the Lord.
I'm with you on the preaching thing, and I think most Christians probably would be too. They'll say, oh yes, God will... Paul says the gospel is the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, and he's talking there about the proclamation of the gospel. But baptism, Dr. Nagel?
That comes with the name of God, with the water, and you can't get it more than that.
I'm wondering about also the fact that we do baptize with water according to Christ's mandate. He did not instruct us to go and baptize and I think some people like to talk about a spiritual baptism, something beyond the water. Why is the water important? If this is God's work, God doesn't need water, does he?
Well, we don't tell the Lord what he needs and what he doesn't need. He's taken water to his use. When the Lord says baptize at the end of Matthew, it's water thing that he's talking about. It's water with the name. And you can't do a baptism without the water. And that's the glory of it, because that's a part also then of that certainty of to whom the gifts are given, when the name and the water are put on together.
the life of the baptized. It doesn't, I'm assuming it does not end. If this is something you've said, you've talked continually in the course of our conversation about how God's name in baptism, Christ is with us, he doesn't go away. God continues to do his name thing through baptism. It sounds as though baptism isn't a one-time thing, and then it's all over with.
That's not the way the Lord does things. He's not a one-shot deal and then take off. He sticks with what he does and sees it through. That is, he sticks with his name and sees that through where he puts it, where he puts it with the water. And so you have to knock that Lord out of it to come to a problem of saying, well, it only happened once back there and wasn't that nice, but it doesn't mean a blind thing today. That's why the small catechism is so helpful when it says we should begin each day recalling our baptism in a way that asks God to do his name with and for us and upon us through this day, as surely as he has committed himself to do. That gives us the confidence in our prayers, having put his name upon us with the water.
Our guest, Dr. Norman Nagel, we're talking about baptism. You can join us as well with questions or comments on baptism. 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. We also have an email address. It's issuesetc@kfuo.org. That's issuesetc@kfuo.org. We have some great resources, by the way, available on baptism, probably more resources on that than just about anything on our website. All you have to do is go to our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section there, you're going to find 14 articles on this subject alone, and those articles on baptism also include Luther's Small Catechism and many, many people writing based upon what Luther drew from the scriptures regarding baptism. These 14 articles can be found on our website, issuesetc.org. Under the What's New section, the website address again is issuesetc.org. We'll be right back to talk more about the baptized life. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. However, we are not funded by the church body. We're also not affiliated with Lutheran Hour Ministries or the Lutheran Layman's League. Issues Etc. is supported by listeners like you. Please help support this worldwide outreach by making a gift this week. Our address, Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Thanks for your prayerful consideration.
If you enjoy listening to Issues Etc. on the weekends, did you know that you can listen to 3 live hours of Issues Etc. each weekday afternoon? All you have to do is go to our website at www.issuesetc.org. Click the worldwide KFUO logo, and from 3 until 6 Central Time, 4 to 7 Eastern, 2 to 5 Mountain, and 1 to 4 Pacific, you can listen to 3 live hours of Issues Etc. Monday through Friday. The website address again, issuesetc.org.
You're listening to Issues Etc.
What does the last half of the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark have to do with, say, Genesis 1 and 2? Maybe something? Maybe nothing. Well, that was a question we put to Pastor Alan Shade of Emmanuel Lutheran Church in St. Charles earlier today in the Bible study. If you'd like to hear his answer, tune in tonight for the Bible study repeat at 7:05.
The Bible study on AM 850 KFUO is underwritten by Concordia Christian Books and Gifts, serving God's people.
The Missouri Heart Gallery Project is a compelling exhibit that introduces children and youth who are waiting to be adopted. Discover how local and national photographers have captured the personalities of more than 100 children. The 2006 nationally acclaimed photo gallery tour will open in Missouri at the Center of Contemporary Arts, or COCA, in St. Louis on June 16th. You're invited to attend the unveiling. For more information, get in touch with the Adoption Exchange at Northwest Plaza in St. Anne.
This is Family News in Focus. I'm Bob Dittmer. The attempt by atheist Michael Newdow to use the courts to call the nation's motto unconstitutional failed this week. A district judge in California sided with the Department of Justice in dismissing Newdow's lawsuit, saying In God We Trust does not establish a religion, but is for patriotic and ceremonial uses. Josh Montez has more on the court's decision.
Michael Newdow knew he would not win at the district level, but that's okay with him.
Because when you go into the Court of Appeals as the loser, you get an extra brief. You get the first word and the last word, so you don't want to win in the district court. So I lost beautifully.
That's a nice spin by Michael Newdow.
Brad Dacus is with the Pacific Justice Institute.
The truth is still that this federal judge granted our motion to dismiss. If it was advantageous for the court to not have granted our motion to dismiss, we wouldn't have filed the motion, and along with the U.S. Department of Justice. Now, this is a clear victory, but it is round one.
Newdow promises to appeal to the liberal Ninth Circuit, which has Dacus a little uneasy.
We do have serious concerns about the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. They have an incredible track record of surprising people and how they decide cases like this.
But he's encouraged that the U.S. Supreme Court has a track record of reversing over half of the decisions from the Ninth.
It just shows how firm we need to be in our resolve in responding to not only this latest attack on faith in America, but how it plays out in the future and in future cases he takes on.
A spokesman for the Department of Justice told us they were pleased with the district judge's decision. For Family News in Focus, I'm Josh Montez.
Newdow is also trying to have the Pledge of Allegiance banned from public schools because it contains the words "Under God." 2 years ago, the case reached the U.S. Supreme Court, where it was dismissed as well. For Family News in Focus, I'm Bob Dittmer.
AM 850 KFUO is underwritten in part by Reliable Heating and Cooling. With a showroom in the Mid-County Trade Center, 8463 Delport Drive. Reliable Heating and Cooling features Lennox air conditioning and furnace systems and services all brands. Reliable also provides senior discounts. Reliable Heating and Cooling, serving you from North, Mid, and West County exchanges. The next time you call Reliable at 423-3535, please thank them for being an AM 850 KFUO underwriter.
Reasonable Ethics, a Christian approach to social, economic, and political concerns, is the title of our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June. It's published by Concordia Publishing House. Their phone number, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Or you can find out more about Reasonable Ethics on our website, issuesetc.org. Reasonable Ethics by Dr. Robert Benny, our Issues Etc. Book of the Month for June.
The following program is a recorded broadcast. Please do not attempt to call the program. Phone lines are not open.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're talking about baptism. Our guest, Dr. Norman Nagel, professor of systematic theology at Concordia Seminary here in St. Louis. If you're looking for a great book on baptism, I highly recommend a book called Baptized into God's Family, The Doctrine of Infant Baptism for Today. It's written by a guest on our program called Dr. Andrew Das. Now, you can purchase this book directly through our radio program if you'd like to. We'll send you Baptized into God's Family for a contribution of $12 to Issues Etc. The price includes shipping and handling. All you have to do is have your MasterCard, your Visa, or your Discover card ready and call the Issues Etc. resource line at 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. Or you can make your $12 check payable to Issues Etc. and mail it to us at Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. That's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. The book is called Baptized into God's Family by Dr. Andrew Das. The number again, 1-800-737-0172. Before the break, Dr. Nagel, we were talking about the baptized life. What does the baptized life look like?
Well, what's it look like to live as a Christian? If the Lord says, "You are one of mine, as surely as I have put my name on you with the water of baptism," then that makes a difference to the way we live our lives. We are no longer left to live them out from our own pitiful resources, but we know that we can count on all of the resources that He has pledged to us with His name. And that is to live the confident, joyful Christian life that cannot be overthrown. For we can no more be overthrown then the name of God can be ripped off of us. Now the name of God is given to us, is put upon us with the water as a gift. The Lord doesn't have anyone in his kingdom by compulsion, by whip or gun. It all comes as a gift. And a gift, of course, is something that can be rejected. You can scorn and act in rebellion against your baptism. You can say, none of that for me. I'll manage quite nicely without you, Lord. And you act as if his name had not been put upon you. And then you are doing it in a way that will get no further than you're able to do without the Lord himself, who in your baptism pledged himself to see you through.
When Luther entertains this question, and he's explaining and teaching on baptism in the Small Catechism, he talks about daily repentance and death of the old Adam, and a daily resurrection, if you will, of what he calls a new man that comes forth daily and lives in righteousness and purity forever before God. This interplay between repentance and the forgiveness of sins, what part does it play in the life of the baptized?
But that is the daily return to our baptism, to live on from the gifts that are given to us there with those resources we face each day. And so long as we are living with that confidence, we cannot be overthrown. And we daily sin much and indeed deserve nothing but punishment, as the Small Catechism also says. In Ephesians 5, it speaks about Christ having washed his bride. That's the church. The washing that's made his bride, the church, his own. But the church always has loads of sins that need daily washing away. When things go wrong in the church, we shouldn't be terribly surprised. They're a bunch of sinners, and the only hope for them is that there is forgiveness. And that hope forgiveness is theirs in their holy baptism, and they can only be lost by neglect and scorn and rejection of their baptism. And so, to begin each day in the name of God that was put upon you with the water, and then at the end of each day to put all of that day within his forgiveness, to call on him as such a Lord who has committed himself with his name for all that he would be for you, for your salvation, now and forever.
When Jesus said to his disciples, and this is the first passage that you referenced at the very beginning of our conversation, Matthew 28, when he said, go make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to guard everything I have commanded you, who did he mean? Who should be baptized?
There's no limitation at all in our Lord's bidding. Any limitation would be something that we would have to introduce. Three times in that great passage there's all, and all whatever. Those three alls won't allow us to lay a limit to it and say to anybody, this isn't for you. That would be in direct contradiction of our Lord's bidding. For his bidding runs, as he says there, in heaven and earth. That is his authority. And it is that same authority which runs with his bidding that is also then what runs with certainty for the baptism being as sure as his doing. And you can't say to the Lord, now stop at this point. You can't be doing this for somebody that, well, you know how in the history of the church we have to repent of things such as racism, for example. as if we would say, now, this isn't for you. You aren't included in this bidding of the Lord. It is a fearful thing to say of any person, young or old, rich or poor, male or female. You know how that runs in that passage. Nothing may be separate. None of those things may be said as showing that you can't be one who belongs to the Lord. And so his command is embracing. There's nobody whom he does not wish to have as his own and to put upon each one. And that's the glory of the individualization of it. His name with the water.
You said young or old, and probably most Christians wouldn't have a problem with the old part. But with regard to baptism, many do have a problem with the young part, especially the very young, the newborn, the infant, the cute little cuddly baby. What does he need the forgiveness of sins for?
Well, that's to suppose that we can say, well, some people are more fit for the Lord to be giving his gifts to than others. And that's a pretty horrendous thing to do. You can't tell the Lord you can't be giving your gift to this person because this person isn't old enough or bright enough or the right social class or color. You see, when we locate the question with an infant, then we can only get infant answers. You look at an infant and say, now, what can an infant do? And there's not much hope in that. But that's to locate the question in the wrong place. You don't ask, hey, what's with the infant? You ask, what's with the Lord? Can the Lord give his gifts also to an infant? And he doesn't wait for us to give him permission whether he can or not. He's the sort of the Lord who delights to give his gifts. And so, don't ask, can an infant believe? You ask, can the Lord give his gifts to an infant? And who are you to tell the Lord that he can't?
Our phone number, 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Let's take some phone calls, and we'll start with Justin. He's calling from Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, listening on WEMI. Justin, welcome to Issues Etc.
Hey, I don't want to take up too much of your time here tonight. I was just wondering, I got two questions. First of all, what name do you think should be called out over, like a lot of people believe in the commandment in Matthew where he said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost. That's what Jesus said. And then later on, in the rest of the book of Acts and the later church time, the disciples baptized in the name of the Lord or in the name of Jesus.
So what's the name? And your second question was, Justin?
And my second question was, you were talking about baptism as being brought into the family, God, and accepting the name of the Lord. And is it an essentiality to salvation if you, like you said before, if you refuse to be baptized, are you refusing salvation?
Okay, two good questions, Justin. Thank you very much. We only have about a minute and a half before we go to a break, Dr. Nagel. Let's try and clear away the first question, and that is, what is the name that God gives us for baptism? Is it the triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or the name the Lord or Jesus only?
Clearly, when the Lord gives the mandate for baptism to be done, as he does at the end of Matthew, the name that he gives for it to be done with is Father in the name. And that's in the singular, remember, the name of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's what the Lord bids us to do, and we don't think that there'd be any better way than that. If we hear of other people doing other things, then we have to look at that. But none of those other ways have this clear mandate from the Lord himself. And so if anybody asks, why are you baptizing that way? The surest answer is, this is the Lord's bidding. So this is the mandate that he gave for holy baptism to be done. The name and the water and the name, he said, was Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And that's what we're glad to stick with.
Very briefly, with only about 30 seconds, there are those who say that it is the name of Jesus because they would follow the practice, or at least the apparent practice of the apostles, who don't seem to be baptizing in the full name of the Trinity, but they talk about baptizing in Jesus' name.
Well, You can't have Jesus by himself, isolated out of the Holy Trinity. There isn't any Jesus going on, but the one who is in the name Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. To get a baptism apart from the Trinity, you can't sort of split the Trinity up and say, well, we'll have a Jesus baptism, or we'll have a Father baptism, or we'll have a Holy Spirit baptism. The only baptism that Jesus bids us to do is in the name Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, all three.
Dr. Norman Nagel is our guest. We're talking about baptism. When we come back, more of your phone calls, your questions, and your comments, 1-800-730-2727. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Issues Etc. on the Jubilee Network.
Are you a parent or a grandparent of a young child? Are you concerned about the nurture and development of young children in their relationship to the church? Some adults believe children should be made to sit silently through worship services, while others like to place their kids in children's church so that mom and dad can worship without distraction. When it comes to worship, liturgy, hymns, and parish practice, how do children fit into the picture? Carl Schalk has authored a series of personal reflections, which he freely admits represent politically incorrect discourses to some. The title of this collection is First Person Singular. Schalk asserts that in recent years, those who know the least about the faith seem to want to determine the most about its expression. We recommend the book First Person Singular to our Issues Etc. friends. The cost is $17. To order, use your Visa or MasterCard when you call 1-800-737-0172.
The following program is a recorded broadcast. Please do not attempt to call the program. Phone lines are not open.
If you'd like to purchase a cassette copy of this hour's broadcast for a cost of $6.50, or if you'd like to receive the book Baptized into God's Family by Dr. Andrew Doss for a total of $12, or if you'd like to receive a complimentary copy of our Issues Etc. journal, you can do so by calling the resource line 1-800-737-0172. That's 1-800-737-0172. You can also write us at Issues Etc., Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. That's Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Arda is calling from Mountain View, California, listening on KFAX. Arda, welcome to Issues Etc.
Yes, hi. I just am calling in regards to Dr. Nagel's references. I don't hear direct references. And to make his point, I would rather hear references from the Bible, like we were talking about the water for baptism, and I think it would have been a lot better for me to hear someone take a look in Acts chapter 8, where the eunuch said, well, see here, there's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And so you were talking how important it is to use the word to draw people, but I'm actually hearing a little more opinion or using your own way of saying the word, but
okay.
Not directing.
Now, Arda, I would just point out before I let you go here, and it's a very, very worthy concern, and we always need to be held to the book itself, to the Word of God. But let me just point out before I let you go that just because someone doesn't make a specific scriptural reference doesn't mean that they're offering an opinion. They might, in fact, be teaching from Scripture without simply referencing the passages, but we'll take that up. Dr. Nagel, specific passages regarding, and let's talk about the benefits of baptism, the gift of baptism that God gives itself. Where would we find God telling us in His Word itself what He gives in and through baptism?
Well, there's no better passage for holy baptism than Matthew 28:16-20. There you have our Lord's mandate. That is what He tells to be done for the making of disciples. And that's as sure as the Lord's own words are sure. That's nobody's opinion. That's straight words of the Lord. And there baptizing is the name going on with the water. And there isn't any baptizing going on without the water. The water is implicit in the verb itself of doing baptism. And so there's loads of passages. So we have the mandate of the Lord, and then we have all of the instruction that we have from the apostles. And there's loads of good passages there. There's Romans 6:6, Titus 3:5, 1 Peter 3:21, Colossians 1:13-4. I mentioned before the Ephesians 5 passage where the church is washed as the bride of the Lord. So if you want a list of passages, do look up the index or the concordance in your Bible and track through every baptism place. And pile all of that together and say, wow, that's all that the Lord's doing, bestowing with his gifts in baptism.
There was a question that a previous caller had asked that we didn't get to. It was an oversight on my part. He had asked the question about the necessity of baptism for salvation.
We are eager to be baptized because that's what the Lord wants to do with us, to give us his gifts. And one cannot really say to the Lord, I don't want your gift, thank you. That is unbelief. Now, there may be people who have not thus rejected the Lord's gifts, and he is having his way with them, drawing them to be his own, to whom he would also, the Lord is always wanting to give us more of his gifts. There are some who would be Christians without baptism. Now that's not really the way the Lord makes Christians, makes disciples. It's with baptism, and it's with the words entrusted to be the words that tell us of what a Savior he is. Now, the short answer, I suppose, is that it's that rejection of baptism which damns, not its absence. There may be people who are moving toward baptism who have not yet been baptized. Or if they were on their way to church to be baptized and they had a car accident and got killed, well, we'll leave that to the Lord. He's not going to say, sorry, 10 minutes later you would have been baptized and one of mine. We don't need to let... We can have sufficient trust in the Lord to deal with each one of us as we respond to his invitation, his bidding to be baptized, and let him be the one whom we face to with those questions. The only good answers are the ones that the Lord gives, and we know what sort of a Lord he is.
Our phone number, 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. If you have a question or comment on baptism, as we talk to Dr. Norman Nagel. One more phone call before we wrap up the hour. Let's see what Rick has to say. He's calling from Cleveland, listening on WHK. Rick, thank you for the call. Welcome.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, this is in regard to the infant baptism. In the book of Acts, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch make a statement saying that you have to be asked, in order to be baptized, what the thought means is you have to believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord. Doesn't that address the issue that you have to have a cognitive action before being baptized?
All right, let's see what Dr. Nagel has to say, and thank you for the question, Rick. He's making reference to the Acts chapter 8 passage where in some English versions of the Bible, there is a verse there that says, what restrains me from being baptized, and Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, then you may be, I paraphrase. How do we deal with that?
Well, he's talking to that man who is an adult, and so he's talking to one whom he may ask to make such a confession. One may not then universalize that and say, unless you're an adult, the Lord can't give you the gifts of baptism. And the moment we look to something in ourselves as if that was a kind of qualification for getting baptized. We are running counter to the fact that it's nothing but a gift. But with an adult, of course, there the name is to be confessed, which is to be confessed with the water that is used in baptism for putting that name on. And that's how we got the Apostles' Creed, where those who were coming for baptism confessed the name, and out of that name grew what we call the Apostles' Creed. Now, one doesn't put that as a qualification for those who are not capable of being dealt with in that way. We mayn't say that the Lord depends upon a certain level of our brain development before he can bestow his gifts. We've got no right to say, to exclude anybody from the Lord's giving his gifts, as he has shown himself eager to be including everybody in his gifts.
Dr. Norman Nagel is our guest. Dr. Nagel, thank you very much for being our guest. Folks, if you'd like to receive a complimentary cassette copy of this hour and the next hour's broadcast on baptism, we will be continuing this conversation and taking your phone calls, your questions, and your email questions in the next hour with Dr. Norman Nagel. The subject is the same, baptism. All you have to do is call in or email us in the next hour with a question or a comment during the broadcast. Again, we're going to be in studio for another hour continuing our discussion with Dr. Norman Nagel on baptism. Our phone number, 1-800-730-2727. That's 1-800-730-2727. Our email address, issuesetc@kfuo.org. That's issuesetc@kfuo.org. If you'd like to listen to the next hour's broadcast live, you can go to our website at issuesetc.org. Click on the worldwide KFUO logo. You won't be able to hear this next hour on the radio, only on the internet, issuesetc.org. .org, the worldwide KFUO logo, and listen to the next hour as we continue this conversation on baptism with Dr. Norman Nagel. He's professor of systematic theology at Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Folks, it comes down to this. What has the Lord Jesus Christ promised that he would do in baptism? Take our guest's advice. Peruse the baptismal passages of Scripture and find there that he has promised much more than we can ever comprehend. What he has promised, he can do for us all through baptism. We'll be right back in the next hour to talk more.
Listen to Pastor Todd Wilkin weekly on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is critical for Issues Etc. to continue. Our address is Issues Etc., Post Office Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Box 9360, St. Louis, Missouri, 63117. Visit us on the World Wide Web at www.issuesetc.org. That's issuesetc.org. For a cassette copy of the program, call 1-800-737-0172. 1-800-737-0172. Issues Etc. is a broadcast service of the Lutheran Church, Missouri City.
Larry Rask.